If you want to save on the most popular PodNuts products, go to our new page at podnuts.com/deals. And while you're there, get on the PodNuts hot list, where you're going to be sent exclusive weekly deals. You're going to get the latest PodNuts news, so you're in the loop. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 332.
I always get the good numbers.
You do. It is a good number. This is the show where we talk computer repair, and we usually have a guest on who is somebody who has a business in the computer repair field or is a computer repair enthusiast or just always has some good information to share with us, be it business-wise, tech-wise, whatever-wise. We try to bring it all here. So today is no different. We have Lisa Hendrickson on, a familiar face to PodNuts Daily from callthatgirl.biz. What's up, Lisa?
Not much. Just preparing for winter in Minnesota again.
Winter. Those are those cold months, right? I remember back when I used to have to endure them back in the day.
Well, Philly's a little different, right, than Florida? So
huge different.
Cold for you is like 50 now. Ooh.
I know. But that's the problem with living in Florida. People down here, they get used to the heat. So whenever it gets cold, they freak out. They're like, and they put their gloves and their scarves on and everything. And yeah, I'm not like that yet, but I probably will get like that soon.
Yeah, you will. Look at you, a sweater on today too.
Yeah, I know, it's freezing out. It's like 60. No, so what are you doing to prepare for the winter up there?
You know what, I tested my remote starter.
Yeah,
all is good. Battery's getting a little low. That kind of worries me. Excuse me. And then we have to get the big scrapers, you know, the 5 foot ones, so I can get out, because I have a truck. And let's see. That's about it. Remote starter and a big scraper.
Good.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, we got snow today. It was kind of fun. Then it stopped, and then that sucked because I was like, give us 6 inches if you're going to do it.
I agree. I hope you make it through the winter.
I will.
So what do you want to talk about today? I know you have a lot of good stuff, and you're keeping very busy.
Yeah, business is going well this year. I think this was the year that we kind of are preparing for 2012. Like, we grew enough to where now I have to find awesome projects for next year to kind of keep continuing the growth.
Really?
So, yep. I'm going to end 2011 with, well, I think 7 employees. And last year I had just 1 in January.
Wow.
So, mm-hmm.
That's major expansion.
Yeah, it was. It was a tough year, you know. I went through a really hard summer of figuring everything out and doing all the book work that no one likes to do, like government forms and tax stuff and unemployment and all these, you know, payroll people and how to pay them and
Oh, that's boring. You know, I hate that stuff.
I hated it. And you have to pay a lot of money in, like, workers' comp, you know, to set that up. And that's very expensive. And
I can imagine.
I'm learning.
It's got to suck. But I mean, it's worth it though, right? I guess. I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of people are like, why don't you have contractors? Well, there's really a lot of limits to having contractors on. And I just couldn't do that. I have to delegate too much labor.
I see.
You know, and a lot of people get away with it by saying, you know what? We're not going to listen to the law. You just do what I want. And we're going to pay you $10 cash or whatever.
Right.
But I'd rather, you know, say, here's your job duties, here's your job descriptions, here's your hours you work, and here's the shirt you're going to wear. You
know? Well, I mean, it puts control in on it, and it's legal. I mean, you want to stay within the law. It's going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah, but, and I think a lot of people, when they first start out, kind of end up figuring out the ways, you know, and I figured once this summer hit and I had to put everybody on payroll, I was like, now is the time that everything is done right, because I want to grow it right.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
But how did you go from 1 to 7 this last year? You want to tell us? Like, what are some of your successful actions?
Well, the first one was, I think you guys might remember, the first show I did with you, I was in that store by myself, mm-hmm. in that big echoey store, and I had no employees, and it was just me.
Yeah.
Well, I had an intern that just happened to start, and this is kind of a tip on how a business grows. Was I was doing everything myself, and then the intern can only do so much work. They can't do any money producing, like, repairs on their own. So he shadowed me and learned from me, and we did them together. And then finally I was starting to have him help me with side stuff that wasn't money producing work, but it was like learning, you know, and research. Mm-hmm. And when he got done interning, I said, okay, I can give you a part-time job, but that's all I can afford. And then he finally came to me and said, okay, I want to work full-time, and that's it. And I was like, all right, we'll make it work.
Cool.
And you start with one, and then, you know, I happened to have two locations at the time. So the second tech came from a need because I was outsourcing all my hardware. And I was tired of outsourcing it. So I hired a guy as a contractor just to do that work. And then after like 2 months, it was like, well, he has to be full time now because I was busy enough.
Right. That's good.
And then, cool. Yeah. And then that guy, ended up just a month ago getting I hired a part-time guy for him. And, then I opened another store this summer and we needed three guys to run that because it hit really well right away.
Sweet.
So yeah, we're not at financially the goals I'd like to see, but it's a really good start. But and like, we had to have expanded hours.
Well, how you must have been doing good for you to think that like opening another store would be a good idea. Like, was your first store doing so well that you're just like, let me just duplicate everything I'm doing here into another store and then that and just keep doing the pattern over and over? Or what made you want to get another store?
Well, the another intern I had at the time said, hey, you know what? Have you thought of putting a store where I live? And I said, yes, but it's a long story. But the point is, and this is another tip for people, is that town had 20 some thousand people and only one known repair shop.
I got you.
So there's a huge hole, you know, of opportunity. And I'm an opportunist, so I did it. So I said, let's do it. You know, I put down a slight investment, got the store open, got the guys trained, and we did some advertising and marketing, and it just really was nice. It was a perfect niche for that town, and the townspeople are happy. And we do Macintosh repair, and we're the only one in town that does that.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Smart. So that was kind of a nice spot for us.
Very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there?
Then we reopened Rochester. I closed that little echoey shop down, and I found a new location. And this one is this one's doing really well. It's on the corner of two or four really busy streets that all come together, and we've got light stop and go action. And I painted the building pink and black.
Is that the one you posted in the forums?
You know what? I don't know if I did the new one here.
I think you might have. I think I remember seeing a pink store. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah. Well, the one in Winona has pink and black letters on it, but the one in Rochester is actually painted pink and black.
It probably gets attention, right?
Yeah, it does. And remember I told you that this town isn't the town of the Mayo Clinic? Well, we're four blocks from Mayo Clinic.
Really?
Like I'm in the downtown district here. Yeah. So, but the people love it, and I don't have to market or advertise right now because I put up some big banners, like 4x9 and 4x8, up on top of the building.
Yeah, and that's doing it for you. Like
that's
for the
advertising? Doing it.
Nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah.
I can show you a picture if you can share it on the camera. I don't know if you can or not.
Yeah, I can.
You can't. Okay, I'll go.
Unless don't send it through Skype though. If you email it to me, it'd be the best.
Oh yeah, I'll do that. I've got a public Dropbox that has a couple good pictures.
Cool.
I can find them.
Yeah, when I had my shop in Philly, a lot of if you're in a good location with a lot of traffic and especially if you're in front of a red light, the red light is awesome. Like people would park. I was right in front of a red light at an pretty busy intersection. People would stop at the red light, look over, see my store, write down the number, or come in or whatever. And I had so many people because I would ask them, how did you find out? How'd you find us? Well, I was just sitting at the light and I saw you. Like that was the way I was getting most of my people. So yeah, a visible location is huge. It saves you other types of advertising dollars.
You know what though? I even put the phone number on here because I'm like, just come on in.
Yeah.
It's such a busy corner that
you didn't even put the phone number, right?
Don't need a farmer. Come on in. Wow.
Cool.
We're open 8:30 to 6:30. So we have, you know, after work, people can stop in. And I think eventually I'll put the phone number somewhere, but
yeah.
I don't know where. I mean, just where this building is an old root beer stand from the 50s.
Nice.
And it's very unique. And it was pretty much, I think, a dead store for about a year. And it was tan and red. and it just kind of blended in with the background. So when I came in and painted it right away, it got real big, like, oh my God, when that happened, you know?
Really?
Kind of, yeah, kind of like people were surprised. And then we put the banners up, and now tomorrow we're getting the vinyls up. And the vinyls we're doing is kind of like the root beer stand of the, you know, has milkshakes and fries and root beer at the top, you know?
Yeah.
And like at the top of the trim. And then we're going to have blinky lights underneath. So it's kind of our little cutesy.
That sounds like my dream store.
What can I say?
I didn't get the pictures from you yet. Don't worry about it. But I have seen this. I'm pretty sure it's in the forums. As you're describing this, I've seen this place.
I think so. Yeah. I think I did put them out there.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to put the pictures out too much until it was perfect, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I wanted it to be, yeah.
That's good.
The little store got the second page newspaper press. That was cool. They gave us a little story, and that was helpful.
Cool.
But otherwise, we're just kind of hanging here doing this and staying busy.
Good.
Yeah. Doing a lot of remote.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Is your remote still going strong?
Still going really strong. I keep finding new things to remote into. It's really exciting.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, like, you know, when people call, you're trying to figure out, like, how to, okay, you try to figure out their service need. Like, how am I going to service this person when they call in?
Right.
Well, like, of course, for the store here, there is no remote, but oddly, people come in with no computer, and then that's when we can also pitch them the remote. So it's kind of like the interview process, Steve. When you take a call, they're like, well, I have a slow internet. Well, that's immediate, you know, we do it remotely. Because we can.
Right.
It just takes a little extra time to get connected. Or we'll say, they might say, oh, my printer's having problems. Easy remote job. You know, you would not want someone to bring in their computer and their printer into your store anyway.
Right. Right.
When 90% of the time it's a bad driver.
Huh.
Or they have a stuck queue or, you know, something's not spooling.
Okay.
So printers, we almost automatically always schedule a remote job. We do all the virus ones first that way. And if we can't finish it remotely, then we have them bring to our store or we go to their house. In the smaller towns, it's nice to do the home visits, you know, because they're so close.
Really?
My Minneapolis store, my techs sometimes end up driving kind of far out, but it ain't that bad. But the interview process is really what is awesome about remote support, because you can figure out your day a little bit better, like, because you can schedule remote supports and do stuff on the bench at the same time.
Right.
Because no one's at the bench in your store to, you know, be watching. You can do those in your time that you are doing the remotes.
Exactly.
My tech sometimes works on 4 or 5 machines at once and does remotes.
That's pretty good for him. Well, that's definitely multitasking. What do you do? Like, what are some of your interview process techniques?
Well, like if they call in and we try to, like, to say, determine it, like blue screen of death, you know, that when we turn it into a different kind of interview, like, have you plugged anything in lately? You know, like a new printer or a new USB stick or something, or do you have one plugged in now? You know, we kind of figure out, you know, to see if we can get their computer back on, you know, before we say bring it in. I mean, that can help, because if they happen to have like a USB stick in, they take it out and reboot and they're like, oh my God, it works. Well, obviously, you know, it was the stick.
Right.
And that's, you know, well, when was the last time you had a tune-up done? You know, well, it's been a long time or never. We hear that a lot. And if people know that we do remote tune-ups, it's a, you know, we turned it from a blue screen death possibly to just a tune-up, you know. And I mean, we don't want to charge people for telling them to take out a stick.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's kind of the free stuff we do, which helps people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I think that's a good idea, too. We'll remember to call you next time they have a problem. But in your notes here, you say, how do you turn in your interview process, how to turn a tire kicker into a client? Is that what you mean by doing that when they call for one
kind
thing?
It's not their tire kicking. A lot of times they do, too. Like they're calling and say, what do you charge for this? And we've got pretty set rates. You know, but if they're like, well, how much you charge to fix a printer? Well, the one thing that we've said is, you know what? We have kind of a flat fee for printer repairs of $79. Because it can take us 2 or 3 hours to fix it, and that covers it. Or sometimes it's a 15-minute fix, and then, you know, then we kind of win on that.
Right.
But if it's always less than 45 minutes, we only will charge that amount of time.
I got you.
So then people are happy because they're not paying as much. You know, our minimum is now $39.
What does that cover?
15 minutes.
Gotcha.
But my remote techs are, and myself, we're pretty fast now.
Yeah.
I mean, we are fast. Yeah. Because we've all been doing it so aggressively. So,
yeah.
Yeah. We get remoted in. That takes the longest time sometimes to fix something.
And then you're cruising.
Yeah.
Damn. You guys are good now.
Yeah, it's what you got a strong team to do, you know. They all learn from each other, and they know the fixes. They've done them enough that they're like, I got to get in to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah, it's hard to walk someone through a printer repair. I don't like it.
I know. I know. I've done some of those over-the-phone jobs. I mean, if people can only film the faces people make doing an over-the-phone job, it's grimacing a lot of times.
Yeah. You have to have a lot of patience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been pushed to my limit before when someone will do something and I'll be like, I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to do that. Oh, no. And you're dreading it knowing it's going to be another 15 minutes.
Right.
And
oh, man, it sucks.
And as soon as you're on a slow connection, you know, so it can get real tedious and it's just, but, you know, it's part of the job.
Yeah.
Just like any other job. So, you know, any office job, you don't like what you're doing, maybe.
Totally.
But, so I think back to the interview process thing that turns a tire kicker in is that we try to sell our clients. We don't get many tire kickers because we have a really good interview process. That's like we ask them the right questions. We give them a little customer service that another shop might not give them. Like, oh, that's $125 an hour. Then that's it. We kind of interview them and talk to them. And then they start to feel that personal relationship.
Right.
And that's what hooks them, I think.
So is that like something you train your guys to do?
Yeah.
Cool.
They're all customer service specialists.
Nice.
They don't like that, but they are. I mean, you know, they like it, but they didn't, you know, not a lot of techs are specialists in customer service.
Right, right.
But I make them all do that. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm not going to ask you specifically because it's probably in your book, right? But I was going to ask you, like, what do you have the guys say specifically? Like, we could just tease the folks with this or what?
Tease. Well, like I said, the interview process is I don't mind talking about that. It's just We ask the questions. Are you backing up your data? And they're like, what do you mean? And that gives us an opportunity to talk to them about their data. Do you have a lot of pictures, memories? You know, you'd be really upset if your hard drive crashed and you couldn't get it back. These are things that get you to talk to the client. See?
I gotcha.
And the remote stuff, it might take us 5 to 8 minutes to book the appointment, but we talk about data backup, we talk about our antivirus protection plan, and we talk about the repair, and then we figure out what we can fix and how much it's going to be. By that time, it's already like a booking.
Nice. And how long do you usually book people in advance? I mean, you obviously don't want them waiting a couple of days. Like, do you try to do it the same day or?
So, oh, we have a live help desk now. They can call in anytime.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So when they book an appointment, I mean, that's they when they call, they're getting service.
Well, they can do it two ways. They can book an appointment, which we do a lot of, and they can just get help right now.
Sweet.
And sometimes if we're too busy, we'll say, hey, can we call you in a half hour?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You don't have a recording that says all of our associates are busy right now due to high traffic. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we have a voicemail system, and it's and I don't like it, but sometimes we're both on the phone. I mean, I've got one BlackBerry for one tech, and I got my BlackBerry that's the command center BlackBerry. So this is how it's run.
Is it ringing right now? It went on.
No, this is just how my world runs is on BlackBerry.
See.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. We have one phone in the store that doesn't ring and it's outbound only for emergency.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to do. Less distraction.
Yeah, well, my security set up through it and the DSL line and everything else, but...
Yeah.
Others were mobile. If it's a bad snowy day, tech has this at home.
That's nice. That sounds like you're doing this right, Lisa. I like it.
Yeah, it's been fun because this is a business model that really anybody could do, and it was just kind of just happened to work out. There wasn't like a big plan, you know?
Right. But you keep adding to it, and it seems like you're finding out what works and what doesn't work and just keeping the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I made sure that all the techs know remote support. And, you know, the unexpected win I had was finding a Mac tech that knows. Well, I trained him on remote. He knows Mac. So now any Macintosh calls we get, we book on him.
Really?
On his calendar. Mm-hmm.
He just came out of the blue or what?
Well, that was the intern that actually asked me to open the other store.
Nice.
So he wanted to do in-shop Mac repair because there was no Mac repair in that town.
Right.
And I said, well, you're going to learn remote. And he did.
Yeah, and it's been working
Mac,
out.
Though, too. I'm sorry?
It's been working out? Over remote Mac support?
There's a lot of cool stuff that people don't realize that Mac people might need done. A lot of it is minor glitches, and there are some tune-ups that need to be done. Mm-hmm. And printer issues, and set up the airports, and time machine, and a lot of stuff people don't understand how to do.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? For Apple being, quote, you know, so easy to use, some of those networking things are a pain. I mean, I even had trouble hooking up my Airport Express.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you call that girl?
I did. I made sure I got your Mac guy.
Yeah, we interviewed for those two to make sure, but yeah, we get enough Mac calls. It's a good service.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Another thing you have here is how to determine if a client is a good prospect for a remote job instead of coming into the shop. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, like there's some people that you absolutely are going to, you could tell right away on the phone that they're not going to be able to do the web browser, you know, like to put in the code and get connected. And and we almost never do it with people that aren't, you could tell just by listening to them that, you know what, how about a home visit? Sometimes even better.
Right.
Or, you know, do you want to bring it to us? And they're like, yep, just come out. And they're the ones that are really thankful for the home visits. And we charge more, but there's no drama for them.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
So, again, that's part of our interview process. We do that for all the stores.
Huh. That's pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is, too. And that's where kind of, you know, the next thing I was going to talk about is how to get your brain out of shop mode and into the virtual mode.
Yeah. What's that about?
Part of what we're doing is talking to people and understanding if they can understand what we're doing. And most people can. So you don't want to waste, of course, time trying to book someone for a remote job when, you know, you're like, you know what, they're the type of person that wants home service and they're going to pay. We've got some people, some of our clients are so into this remote support that if I've actually had a client this week that figured out three times a way to get us remoted in because he did not want to bring it to us. And we were like, you got to bring it to us. It's really bad. And he was like, nope. And he figured out a way to get it connected.
Really?
Yeah, he was driven. His internet browsers wouldn't open because of a virus. So then he went and somehow, and we talked him through lots of stuff. Go install it from another drive, you know, or a USB from another computer. He finally got Safari to work so we could remote in that way.
On a PC?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He was determined. He didn't want to bring it in. So it's kind of like we've trained our clients that remote support is like the best way.
Yeah. Well, probably once they get it one time, they're like, this is the only way I'm going to fly now.
It's teasing them kind of like, oh, you bring it to the shop. It's so 1950s.
Yeah, seriously.
Really?
Are you still using Log Me and Rescue?
Yep.
Yeah. And you're liking it still?
Still. Yep.
Good.
I've been working with them for a while. I had, you know, some issues over potential new, you know, like businesses, you know, there's contracts you have to do and stuff, but I still hands down think it's a really good program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried that Screen Connect and you know what? I couldn't even figure out how to do it. So I was like, I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
I don't have a server.
I called support with them. Once I got it hooked up and running the way I wanted, it was smooth as butter. And you could customize it. You could brand it. You know what I mean? So I thought it was cool. But it's different. It's a different animal than the Log Me and Rescue.
You know, I could probably do it next year.
Yeah?
Yeah. We don't even have a server in my company. We use Dropbox. That's our server.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We use it heavily too. So... so for me, maybe next year we could do a server and get all set up and then get off it. But you know what? I don't know a lot about the Screen Connect, unfortunately, because to me, I've read about it on a few forums and a lot of people like it. I just personally, I don't have time to mess with training new people.
I would say, I would say go with what works. If your Log Me is working for you, keep it. I mean, if you have no problems with it.
I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah.
But I figure it's a write-off.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the way to me, I've got everybody trained on it, and we can flip each other. Computer's so nice. Can you do that on Screen Connect?
I haven't used it too much. I mean, I tested it out here personally with like four computers, but that, you know, that was just it. But
really?
I didn't do any jobs with it because I don't have any customers anymore. But
yeah, no. Poor Steve. Poor Steve has no one to try it out with. You can always remote it in my computer.
Yeah, well, let's see. Let me know how you, if you test it out, what you think about it.
You know what the thing is that here's the thing is I have not seen that, if you can do that or not, flip each other computers and have multiple texts and all that stuff. And that's really
sure
my next person I hire, Steve, is going to be a remote tech. Okay. Because I got three stores, right?
Right.
And again, when computers come in the shop, if it's on the internet, one of my techs at another store can log into a bench machine.
Right.
And right. Do half the work for the other techs, you know, yeah, in that shop. So right now my third store is getting, or my second store rather, is getting kind of busy. So my remote tech sitting next to me is like, what should we do? Because we're getting to that point where I can't do everything.
I got you.
So I was like, okay, let's get another remote tech in. Because that's really, that can benefit all the other stores.
All right. So you decide to get a remote tech in. How do you, how do you get them? What do you do to get a good, reliable employee?
Oh, I'm going to probably start with the interns again.
But how are you going to advertise it?
Oh, there's like two schools in this town, two network schools.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to call them up and say, I need an intern. And they send me a bunch of resumes. Yeah.
Really? That's great.
Yeah. I don't even, they send the network techs are great students because, and this is kind of another tip for everybody, because there's very few jobs out there. And a network tech that actually gets to intern at a real computer repair shop is so rare. You know, I mean, it's just not a big opportunity. A lot of repair shops don't consider bringing on interns.
Right.
So they don't get any live experience, you know.
So you're saying it's good for the resume for them.
It's good for the resume. It's good for the learning. And I tell you, there's a lot of the guys have one, you know, just one employer, just their own, you know, place. Having an intern is kind of good for both people, I think, because I enjoy mentoring, you know. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy telling someone and giving them a project and having them go at it and try to learn it. And that really makes them excel real well, I think, because they're taking their interest in computers and their knowledge from school. And they're bleeding it together. And then plus you're giving them hands-on life experience. And you tell stories and shoot the breeze. And, you know, there's always a lot. So it's really good for, I think, you to empower yourself as the owner to share your knowledge and for the student. And plus, they usually just become like, you give them enough work, then you want them there.
Right.
And then you can pay them and you can go do other stuff.
Right.
Develop right. business, go to networking events or do whatever, you know.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. And if somebody's interning, they have the passion or they have some kind of want because they're not getting paid. So you know that they're not there just for the money or something like that or some other reason. So
well, they're hungry. They're hungry. Yeah. And plus, I've created a what's called Intern Academy. So all the interns have to follow the six rules of the academy guidelines. And that means they're going to learn about six different areas. Like documentation, customer service, software, hardware, blogging and something else.
Really? Like that. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Intern Academy.
It's awesome. Because then if they pass, and that means they did their work.
Yeah.
And that means they have to earn it. Now, some of the network students have their own internship requirements from the school. And you got to do both because they got to do mine and theirs.
I see. Mm-hmm. Do you give them like a little certificate? When they pass
a job, it's better.
Awesome.
I've had, I think, 15 interns since 2007. And a lot of them have had some short-term jobs with me. And right now I have 1, 2, 4 that went from intern to a job.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great idea.
Cool.
It's a great way to do it.
I do pay them now.
Cool.
They earned that.
Okay, you also have how your remote tools are equal to your, quote, shop bench. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, like I was saying, my tech here is working on a bunch of stuff on the benches, and he does remote work. Because you know how, like, you're doing, let's say, a download of some printer drivers. It's going to take a while. They're big nowadays. So that time on a remote job, you know you've got 20 minutes to go do something else. you can go to your bench room and do stuff. So it's kind of like a virtual bench.
I see.
You know, and one of my techs sometimes is in 3 or 4 computers at once. So for him, it's kind of like he's managing 4 shop bench or 4 bench computers.
I see.
Except they're all just in his own monitor.
I see.
So, and it sometimes takes a while for some of these repairs, sometimes it doesn't, but that's an idea for someone that wants to do remote support, especially if you have limited space. I mean, not everybody has enough room, and especially people like maybe in dorms or whatever, you know, that want to start businesses or, you know, really small apartments or whatever.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So just do multiple machines at once. And actually have physical machines on, like, that you're working on as well, or no?
Yeah, well, my tech here, I mean, we in this shop, we've got, I think, 8 computers on the bench and our remotes that we do every day. And this is what we have right now.
Yeah, it's smart. So. It's smart.
I mean, not everything's remote, but I mean, if it's easier to do it like that, why would you want to go to someone's house and spend 2 hours fudging around with the printer?
No, totally. In fact, that's one of the things about a computer repair business. If you say you're not doing remote support at all, like I wasn't, one of the things that really gets you is if you have to sit around and wait for something to get done. I mean, it's just so unproductive.
And you know it's take forever.
Yeah. And you kind of, you go a little downtone on it. And you're like just sitting around waiting. So if you have other things to do or more jobs you can do at the same time, it definitely improves income, morale, and everything else.
Well, I think the part that I used to not like at the home visits was, oh my gosh, I have to sit here for 30 minutes and on the clock, wait for this.
Yeah, I remember.
And that's what bothered me. So I'd end up giving them a discount on the bill because of my guilt.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So I would be like, okay, it's supposed to be $250, and with that half hour off and here's my favorite is when you write the bill and then they pay and then they sit and have you talk for another half hour.
Anyway. That's awesome.
Just one more question and you're like, oh man.
So, gosh.
Anyway, this relieves all of that, and the thing is that I know some people are uncomfortable with the home visits anyway.
Yeah.
Well, if you're comfortable enough on the phone and can you set up your processes well enough to do good remote support, you know, then the people are comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
And you're confident. And that's what part of the remote book goes through. The second edition is more thorough introduction to a chapter and explains why you need to know one really well. So you have confidence and you're professional and you've got everything lined up kind of to, you know, to do it and not muffle around. And right. I mean, I did a lot of that, Steve, for a long time. I didn't know what I was doing.
What, going, you mean with your home visits?
No, with remote support. Like, it took me about a year to get my whole thing down.
Yeah.
To figure it all out. Like, the processes, bookings, and how much time things take, and what to expect, and how to deal with the blue screens of death, and how to deal with computers that don't come back up to life after you restart them. And,
right.
You know, it's a lot. And we cover all that in the book, too.
Yeah. Let's talk about the book now. For anybody who doesn't know or doesn't have it, and we'll talk about it at the end, too. It's Lisa's Guide to Remote Support. It's actually called That Girl's Guide. Is it the Guide to Remote Support, right? Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Can we give them the Podnuts link, Lisa?
Sure.
Okay. If you go to podnuts.com/callthatgirl, it'll take you right to the page. Lisa, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's in the book and what people can expect?
You know what? The book was, there's a second edition done, and I'll explain why. The first thing is that the first version I put out there was really just more, didn't have a lot of introduction and why you need to do things. It was just kind of like a how-to sheet more, and it made sense. But once I started getting feedback from people that bought the first one, they were like, hey, you know what, can you put this in and can you do that?
Yeah.
And they asked me a lot of questions. For what, 9 months, I kept all these questions, Steve. And I finally formulated all the answers, and I got some good feedback from an editor that said, here's what you need to do to this book to make it even better. Sweet. Is explain more.
Huh.
And I said, cool. I just didn't know that. I've never done a book like that, you know?
Right.
And so the second version is kind of, it's almost double in size, and it really has more explanation for each chapter. And, you know, I'm hoping that when people buy it, they, you know, it's not a technical manual. It's not a tech book on how to do technical repairs. So that's, I don't want people to be misunderstood. It is more of a business manual on how to do it. but there's some technical tips in there.
Sure.
You know, like there's some on virus removals and there's some on blue screens of death and how to deal with the crashing. And but that's more like the setup of it, like how to set up your ticket system, how to do the interview process, how to take payments, how to give out special marketing deals. Because once you're in remote support, you can do tons of deals that you could never do in a shop.
Really?
I mean, you could, but it's just not cost effective. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, we've got tons of them.
This is the kind of information I think people need, because most techs, like who are listening to the show or want to get into remote support, they know how to do all the actual virus removal and techie stuff, but it's the, all the other stuff around that, setting up the business and all, how to get a good, solid remote support system in place that they're lacking probably. So it's a perfect thing for them.
It is, and it's kind of like the like if you were to buy a book, How to Start a Computer Repair Business, you would hope that there would be an outline of everything.
Yeah.
Like, here's what insurance I need. Here's what I need there. Here's what I need to go do. Mine doesn't have checkboxes, but if you read it starting at the top, we cover almost everything all the way through to the end. It includes the 22-point checklist we use for remote cleanings, includes our express cleanings for virus removals. We kind of feel that, you know, with all the different types of malware and viruses out there, that, you know, they did have a virus, but if it didn't take us long to do an assessment and figure it out, we do an express cleaning on those, and people are way happier because their computers are way faster anyway. And we also talk about some upsell opportunities for remote. There's at least three good ones that we do, which is online backup. And that, I know we talked about this before, Steve, it's just an awesome upsell because you're in their computer remotely. You can set up Mosey or Carbonite or whatever you choose.
Right.
And we also just recently started doing the antivirus protection plan.
Sweet.
Which is going well.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Then I found out another big company started doing it after me, so I know that they copied me.
Don't you love when that happens?
And I know they did because I figured it out.
Really?
Snooping on me. No.
That's
cool.
Well,
this seems kind of funny that before, when you had a virus with their company and then you called them, they would say, oh, it's going to be $180 to remove it. Now they let you buy their protection plan that covers virus removals for like $8.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, really? That's not right.
Why? Because it's too low?
I don't know. It's Norton. And they're the ones that are doing it. And I found out it just made me dislike them even more.
$8 for what? A year? Like
To buy for their insurance plan that they cover virus removals. I was like, really? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
They charge you $180 just, what, last month, and now it's $8 for, like, an insurance plan?
That's weird. Is it a month?
I don't know. I have to look into it a little bit more. A client just told me about it yesterday.
That's weird.
I told her, well, if you want to spend 2 or 3 hours talking to someone in another country, buy it.
Totally.
I said, because that's what you're going to get. And she was like, that's okay. I'll buy yours.
But what's yours? What's yours about? How does yours work?
Ours came from a lot of our virus removal history with our clients. We've built up a clientele, and we kind of had some problems, like when we would do a removal and then a few months later someone would call back and they had another one.
Yeah.
You know, it was usually not the same one, but they would be like, God, another $99.
Exactly.
So we came up with a plan that we sell them Malwarebytes License Pro. We send them a quarterly email update to remind them to keep the M in the corner, like make sure you see your M, and to make sure that your scans are happening for the updates and the updates and scans.
Right.
So make sure those two are happening. Then we also do a back end of Microsoft Security Essentials, and we send them quarterly emails to remind them. And then if they happen to call in with any viruses, there's no charge for to remove them.
How much do you charge for that?
$69.99.
Covers for a year, or?
That is the first year. Second year's $39.
Good, that's cool.
Yeah,
it's been working out, huh?
It has worked out, and you know what? The TeamSpeak guys I've been working with helped me kind of, like, when it first started, I got heat, you know, that's so this and that, and finally, I said, you know what, guys, love your opinion. We're gonna come back with another plan, and the last plan, everybody was like, that sounds good. You know, I mean, I think I did it the first time too cheap, and I said, you know, for life, and I mean, really nothing's for life. So we just call it just the protection plan. And that's what it is. And we did, change it for that extra year fee because then someone can get out and maybe someone else will be hot next year.
Yeah. No,
we can't help it. I mean, look at SpyBot.
Exactly.
4 or 5 years ago, that was like the hottest thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's not. Now it's annoying.
It totally is. People still use it, believe it or not.
They do. And that thing keeps popping up. Allow, allow, allow. I'm like, get rid of it already.
Those are the people that still have AOL email addresses. That's all I have to say.
They should do. Yeah. They love it and protect it in the book.
Yeah. Now, you've been talking about the team, mentioned the TeamSpeak a couple times. We've been off the air for a while here. So if anybody does not even know what we're talking about or wants to join in,
What do you mean we're off the air? Did we end the show?
No, I mean, like, I took a month off from podcasting. I only did, like, two maybe with Eric and Tim. So it's been sporadic. So if there's been a gap. So if anybody just forgot or has not heard, there's a chat room, a voice chat called TeamSpeak. A lot of the guys who have listened to Podnuts and the other computer repair shows, they go in there and they have great conversations about what to do in their computer repair business, and they just chat computer repair. What else goes on in there, Lisa? I mean, what else do you guys talk about?
You know what? It's kind of like, I think the consensus is it's kind of like being at a bar with buddies.
Yeah.
But we're all at our houses with microphones on and nerding out and drinking beer and I smoke. And it's like being at a bar. I love it.
That's awesome.
You know, I haven't been in there in the last month too much because of all my projects. But, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like just, your buddies and we all talk techie, and sometimes we talk about personal stuff, sometimes we work through tech stuff together, or we debate, or I don't know, but it's kind of a nice group of guys, and there's some that flow in and some that flow out, so everybody comes in, and if they like it they stay, and if not they get out,
just like a normal bar.
Just like a regular bar. There's the regulars that sit in the corner and have their spots,
And when somebody comes in, like, remember Cheers, everybody yelled Norm. Yeah. When you go in there, does everybody yell Lisa?
Yeah, nope, they don't do that. All right. I half the time don't have a microphone on my home computer, so I just sit and lurk. I lurk.
That's cool. If anybody does want to check it out and see if you get accepted, you have to go through the initiate. No, I'm just kidding. If you just go there and hang out and see if you can get some help or contribute in any way, go to the Podnuts forums. The login information for TeamSpeak is in there because I don't know if it's changed or whatever. I don't want to give any wrong numbers. Okay. Let's see.
Looking through the chat log here, see if I'm missing anything. I forgot that's on there.
What?
Oh, that's the chat on the...
On the Justin TV.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You have also in your notes, and then we'll do some emails in like 10 minutes, or about 10 minutes.
Sure.
Some other stuff on your notes if you want to go over, like one was awesome remote jobs you have done, jobs at best that pay off the best. Pick something you want to talk about. It could be anything.
Well, lately with the holiday season here, the big one for a lot of people is the new computers.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're so easy. Most people, I hate to say it, have a wireless router now, and they have the modem. So really what they need to do is just buy the laptop, and I tell them to go home and set it up and get on the internet. Most people can handle that. There's very few people nowadays that can't, right?
Okay.
And what we do is we remote into both computers and do the file transfer for them remotely and set up all their stuff, move everything over, make a network share, and do it right through the two computers.
Really?
Easy breezy. Yeah. It's so different now. It's kind of like we install Dropbox for them and move everything over that way. Huh. Or sometimes they have an external hard drive.
Huh.
All depends. We've even consulted with people to buy an external hard drive. And then we also set up their backup for them.
Oh, that's pretty remotely. Sweet.
Yeah.
So you do
almost nothing is needed to go out there anymore.
Huh. That's pretty amazing. I guess if you do remote support enough, you'll find all the ways to be able to do things remotely.
I do. And even like the printer, they're like, I don't want to deal with that wireless printer. And I'm like, you know what? I'll walk you through it. So I go figure out the model online and I walk them through the steps.
Right.
On how to do it. And then they think they're, magicians because there's no cords and they figured it out. And it's kind of neat because everything is in Google,
I know.
Everything.
I remember that back in the day. Google was is such your friend. And there's that one site, I can't remember the name of it, that changes Google to make it look like it's not Google. So when you're Googling something at a customer's house or whatever, they don't know you're on Google. I can't remember the name of that site. But when you tell somebody to buy a new computer and they take it home, do you like remove all the crapware out of it and stuff like that too? Or
it depends. You know what? I mean, really, the crapware, mostly we take it out of their startup form so it doesn't, you know, cause it to slow down. But
right.
All these people are getting such huge hard drives now. I mean, it really, it's not like the old days where it took up, you know, a lot of space. Now it's like, now it's just floating like a sand in the ocean. It's so little. Yeah, but we take all that out. And that's when we usually also upsell our antivirus protection plan, get rid of the Norton or McAfee that came on it.
Yeah.
And people at that point, they're like, yeah, let's do it.
Really?
They like it. Yeah, we set up the online backup. We set up other programs. You know, some people are having a hard time right now with this Office 2010 business.
What's going on? What's going on with it?
Activation issues.
Really?
And installing. Yeah. You know what they're doing is they're buying the, they're not buying the upgrades right. And it's, I've had a few people, because then you have to, well, you have to strip out the whole old version. And you have to run it through the Windows uninstaller. And it's a pain.
Really?
Yeah. People have bought the wrong upgrades, and we've had to go and strip everything out. And it's been a 2 or 3 hour job sometimes.
What do you mean? How could they buy the wrong upgrades? You mean like they have like student and teacher edition, and they buy a different one or something? Or
no, you know what they have? Sometimes they have 2003, and then they'll go buy an upgrade of 2010. And because it missed a version, sometimes it doesn't take.
I see what you're saying.
It's just been drama. And those are the ones I'm glad I'm on remote, because I was like, oh my God, if I was at their house, it's tedious.
Really?
Because, yeah. And the remotes are awesome, because I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to go do this, click, 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 and then go do something else.
Right.
Come back, check on it. And the installs still take a while. Yeah.
I got to tell you, the more I hear you talk about doing remote, I got to go back to it. When I was in my shop, sitting in front of a screen, waiting for something to happen, even though I had four computers all doing something, there's still a lot of waiting involved. This totally handles it. I mean, it's just it's a really good thing to get into.
Oh, yeah. I love it for me, because when I'm in a remote job and I'm already knowing, okay, here comes a 20-minute break, and I'm all blazing emails and doing all my stuff, and then I come back peak, and it's just so it's cost-effective for the client and me. Because I'm sure I could bill them for the whole time, but I take them off the clock. And people are like, why would you do that? I go, because I'm not working on their computer.
Ah, like when they're doing when a 20-minute install is happening or something, you'll like, and you're doing something else, you'll take them off the clock. Interesting.
Absolutely. And it's kind of like some people will argue, well, you should be charging them because you're remoted in. Now, some repair techs do this. They charge for the whole time they're logged in with Log Me and Rescue. They keep the time logs.
Right.
But I'm like, I can't. I charge $99 an hour. And I just can't ethically charge for all those printer driver downloads and everything else when I'm not sitting there watching it.
Right, right.
And all my techs follow the same suit, and people end up with bills that are affordable. An average printer, $79. An average computer setup is usually hour to 2 hours, depends on how much they have. We actually give them a lot of wiggle room for things we have to go research, because we don't know how to fix it.
Right, right.
So I've done research tickets that are like $15 an hour just to bill them something. And, it's super dirt cheap, but that's really rare, but I've done it.
Hey, is it working for you? If it's working for you, then do it. I mean, if it makes you feel good at the end of the day, that's a big plus, I think.
Well, still, if you could brought it back to your bench, what are you going to do? A lot of people say, well, I'm just going to reload it. Okay, then you reload a computer, and then you've got 40 calls coming back from the client saying, well, my printer's not working, and this ain't working, and that ain't working, and then my Outlook's not set up, and now you're doing, you know, 2 hours of setup from a reload.
Right.
So I'm like, let's go spend that time and try to fix the issue, you know, because then we learn too.
Yeah, totally. Oh, gosh, that's really a good way to learn.
That's a good intern job, wink, wink. Research. And let me tell you, the interns usually do a lot of research.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great way to learn.
Because they really are the hungriest to learn that, because once you give them a challenge, they're like, I'm going to fix it.
Yep.
I'm going to fix it.
Yep. I would be one to give up easier than others. There's some people that just have to figure out what's wrong with the machine, and they have to, and they're in the registry and they're in all these places. I used to get to a certain point and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do a reinstall. But I think there's two breeds. There's the fixers, I used to call them, like those type of people. And then there's people who are like me. So whatever works, whatever's, but you try to customize it the best you can for the customer. But what,
you're the giver uppers. I just give up.
Yeah, admit it.
You know what? We don't reload much here, Steve. We are fixers, and
it's good for you.
Yeah, I don't like reloading. I mean, it's easy, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think I can kind of consider us a little different in the repair spec, because if you spend the time and learn that, we all know it then as a team.
Yeah,
and we all utilize. We talk on G Talk a lot, and talk a lot of tech on there.
Hmm.
Everybody learns. Yeah, it's kind of neat, but.
And Google is awesome. If like you could just type a full blown error into Google, whatever the error is you're getting, you just type the full thing into Google and you'll usually find an answer.
Yeah. Well, then we have to deal with the Google tech clients. Same. And they're my favorite, because they'll be like, I Googled that. Well, about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I was in a remote job Googling something. And after the client said, I'm paying you to Google, I never Googled on their computer again.
Really?
Never. Nope. I Google on my computer, and then right. I take links and put it through the chat.
Oh, right, right, right. No, yeah, totally. So you're not, they don't see you Googling.
Nope.
Right, that's smart.
And my techs are trained to not Google on their computers either.
Nice.
So we look like magicians that we found this cool fix, and we're just really doing it on our end and transferred over.
That's awesome.
And then the best part is, Steve, we came up with this thing called the desktop kit, which I think is in the second book. I'm pretty sure it is. It's a kit in our Dropbox that we call software that has all the tools and all the cool stuff we use. And that's where all the techs put all their stuff, and it's like labeled and everything. And we can transfer those between us and the client, the desktop kit, and we put it on their desktop, so we have all of our tools at one spot.
Really?
And then in that kit is also a link to our survey, our website, our Mosey Online affiliation, Malwarebytes affiliation. So if they ever go in there and snoop around and want to buy something, it's all in there.
Ah, sweet. And you call it the desktop kit?
Oh, yeah.
And you tell them
and we have one.
You say, like, we're putting a desktop kit on your machine. You can check it out if you want, and here's whatever, or?
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's where we put our tools and just other stuff. I mean, sometimes, you know, like if you're working on virus removal, we have the unhide in there. We keep the registry lifters, the windsock stuff. I mean, not that you need that, but we keep it on our flash drives too. So we have it all.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Very good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. There's a lot of neat things with remote that you can do. And it's not call center-y. I don't want people to think of remote support as, oh, it's like some call center. Because it's really not like that.
No, because you're logging in, you're remoting in. You don't technically need to talk to them once you're in, right? When they tell you what the problem is.
Well, we get off the phone after we're sure that we don't need them anymore.
Right.
And let me tell you that some people are like, can I just go? They don't want to deal with it at all. I'm like, sure, just give me your password and we're all set, you know. But some people want to sit and watch.
Right.
And back to what we were going with earlier, that Google tech thing.
Right.
See, here's the people that when they call, that they have told you everything they've done and they are sure that you're not going to fix it.
Right. So it's.
And they clock watch.
Nice. They're like, you're under the gun with them.
And my favorites, because I love Outlook, are the Outlook people that just don't think I can fix it. And I'm like, please, I remote in. Sometimes I can do it in 2 minutes or less. And they're like, oh, my God, my brother, who's a programmer, has looked at this. My dad, who's an engineer, has tried it.
Right.
And I took it to whatever, and they couldn't do it. And I was like, because not everybody knows everything about everything. I just happen to know where that setting button is.
you should just be like, you should just be like, I'm good. I'm just good. I'm that good.
I tell them, well, I've been doing this 12 years. How long has your brother, the programmer, been doing it? 0 years.
Right. Right.
But cool. They're also the people that don't want to pay. You know, they'll like have everybody in the world, or they'll Google it to death and they can't figure it out. Because there is no, like, error code. Like, here's a good one. My email won't send out of Outlook. I can receive, but I can't send. So try to Google that, and you're going to get 40 pages of things, you know?
Right.
And people will try and figure it out. Well, 9 times out of 10, it's just an outgoing port change that they don't know about, or they don't have the little box check to in the advanced settings. That's the easy one.
Okay.
But I don't know until I remote in, right?
Right.
So, and once I see it, then I know. And then I just love it when they're like, oh my God, that took you nothing to do. And I said, because we do it.
That's awesome. The wizard. Yeah. You're like the wizard.
Yeah. I call us superheroes, Steve, please.
All right, good. Somebody needs to draw like caricatures of like all the call that girl employees as superheroes.
They call it the remote support superheroes. That's a good one. Well, it is kind of fun doing it too. Especially once you start getting good. My tech that works with me every day, he was like my apprentice. So, I mean, if you think no one has ever gotten to my brain, that kid hears me every day, you know, poor thing.
That's great. Yeah. All right. Want to do some emails?
Sure.
All right. This one's from Juan. He says, do you guys know of a good IT support project ticket widget or page where my clients can log in and see if their PC is done or if they need to wait a bit longer? I like the Xbox repair status bar, and that way it shows you from the pickup product to the repair and final delivery. It's a great way for clients to feel good and excited about their product making its way through the repair road. I would like to know if you got any ideas.
I do.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a widget, though, but it's kind of almost better.
Okay.
What we use is M Help Desk, and M Help Desk has an online, like, submit a form. And once the client submits a ticket in, they're in the thread as long as you allow them to be. So, like, if you go into a Help Desk ticket and update it, they get an email saying it's been updated, and they can go look at it.
Oh, really?
Yep, that's what we do.
Sweet. M Help Desk, guys. Check it out.
mhelpdesk.com. It's kind of like a corporate ticket thing, but it's so nice because they've scaled it down for all repair techs.
Really?
So it's not so fluffy. Yeah, right. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like good advice. I have nothing on that. So take Lisa's advice on that one. This one is from Abdullah. He says, hey, Steve, thanks for the help in my previous email. I'm not sure what the previous email was, but here we go. Can you please suggest one more thing? The problem I'm facing is about a Toshiba Satellite A200 laptop. The problem is whenever I turn on the laptop, it works fine and works till the end of the battery. But as soon as I put the charger in the socket, it turns off the laptop immediately. If I remove the charger, the laptop is working fine. The thing is, the charger is working fine. It charges the laptop perfectly. But again, whenever I plug on the charger while the laptop is working, like while I'm using the laptop on any application, as soon as I plug in the charger, the laptop switches off straight away. Take off the charger, restart the laptop, works perfectly. What do you suggest in this condition? Should I change the charger? Even the charger is working fine, or should I do something with the DC jack inside the laptop? Wow, that's a tough one. This is from PC.
I don't know
Bug.
Hardware, but you know what I'd say?
Yeah.
He's shorting it out when he plugs it in. I mean, that just is kind of sounds like electrical to me.
Yeah, he's shorting it out. But what it's messed up because when the laptop is off, the thing still charges the battery. So it does sound like actually a motherboard problem. Something is shorting out in there when you plug it in. I would try.
I'm like, I don't know.
No, it was good. It's good. I would try
another power adapter too. They're $6 on eBay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Try another power adapter and just see if it does the same thing. At least you'll know if it's not the power adapter. Yeah. And then if it's still happening, I would open up the motherboard and check it. But I'm going to guess you're probably not going to be able to see the problem. I think there's probably some component in there that's fried that you will not be able to recognize. But yeah, if you replace the charger and it's still happening, open it up, take a look at the motherboard and see if you see anything noticeable. If you do, fix that. But if you don't, yeah, you might end up needing to get a new motherboard on this one.
Come on, can I just say my favorite word? It's probably a capped mobo. I love saying that.
A capped mobo?
I learned that on Todd Nuts, I think. Capped mobo.
Do they say that in the team speak?
Yeah, well, I actually don't remember where it was. I thought it was Podnuts Forms.
That's so funny.
The Forms Mobo. There.
It's a great name. It's a great band
I
name.
I know. It just cracks me up. Cap Mobo.
All right. Let's see. Douglas has one here. Let's see. Okay, this is from Douglas. This is a long one, so I was just seeing if I answered him already on this. No, I didn't. Here we go. Douglas says, I'm hoping you'd be able to help a newbie in the repair business figure out the issue I'm having with a desktop. I've gotten the machine from an old coworker to repair, as it was displaying an error message at the bottom saying the copy was unauthenticated. I picked it up from her at my old place of employment, took it home, plugged it in, and attempted to fire it up. The fans in HD appeared to turn on. However, I had no display on the monitor it was attached to. I originally had it attached to a flat screen, so I tried a CRT monitor. Same thing, no display. I contacted the customer and asked if she had any other issues she was aware of other than the unauthenticated error. She said she didn't, so I began troubleshooting the issue. I take the AGP video card. The motherboard has no onboard video. Wow, this must be an old machine. And I tried another computer I had at the house, and it worked fine. I put it back in the computer I was fixing, and still nothing. I begin to assume that the AGP slot was bad, and so go out for an order a new PCI, not PCIe, video card. That comes, I plug it in, and turn it on, all still no display on the monitor. Continuing to research, I discover that the motherboard M811 version 3.1 by PC Chip had been discontinued and no support on their site for my issue. I've tried taking out almost all the components, hoping to find a bad part, but still no display. The desktop also does not give me any type of beep codes. As far as I know, it does have a case speaker installed. Need to double check on that, though. So here I am with her computer, still no solution. Heck, I could not even verify the original issue. My consensus at this point is that the motherboard's way out of date, as well as everything else in the computer. She stated that she had it built bare bones by a guy she used to work with. I have no clue what the heck he did. The motherboard spec says it can handle up to 2 gigs of RAM, but there's only 512 installed. I also found a bad hard drive he just left in the case. I was told it worked fine, but until the move from her house to the place of employment and then to my house. Any ideas of what else I can try? I'm at my wit's end, about to tell her that she needs a new computer based off of... Yeah, I mean, she definitely needs a new computer. This thing is old, old school. Maybe just picking it up broke it. I mean, it's just probably fragile at this point. So my suggestion to you is, Douglas, is definitely recommend a new computer to her. I don't know what the problem is. You've tried enough, I think, that I wouldn't spend any more time on this thing. Don't let her blame you that this thing was working and is not working now, because it's just ancient and it probably didn't work when you originally got it. So that's my best suggestion. I think we lost Lisa on this one. Let me see if I call her back. No, she's not online. She's offline. All right. Either that or she doesn't want to help me answer emails. I don't know what's going on. But thank you, Douglas, for the email. Hopefully the guys in the Podnuts forums have some answer for you too. This one is from Brian. Hello, Steve. I have used the videos I bought from your site. He's talking about laptoprepairvideos.com. There's nothing wrong with the videos, but I dismantled my Toshiba Satellite A100 528 with the aid of your videos. I had assumed that the replacement of the motherboard would cure my problem, but unfortunately that is not so. The laptop was originally running, and all of a sudden, no video. Hence, I bought a new motherboard in the assumption that a loose video section was the problem. However, on restart, nothing. I connected the external port to another monitor. Still nothing. So not a problem with my screen on the laptop. And because I have tested the hard drive on another PC, no problem there either. It seems as if there is no boot up. The CD drive works. The hard drive spins. Where can a simpleton like me look for the cause? Taking the laptop to be tested costs more than it's worth. I don't know what else I can do. Can you please advise, Brian? Yeah, so he replaced the motherboard. He's still having the problem with video. His laptop's originally running, and all of a sudden, no video. And you replaced the motherboard, and there's still no video. Okay, you could, you know, check the LCD cable to the motherboard. Check the inverter that goes to your screen. That could be bad. Also, RAM. This is why I suggested him. Pull out the RAM, switch out the RAM, see if the RAM fixes the problem. I've had computers... Yeah.
I was going to say that.
RAM?
Check the RAM.
Yeah. Also, your wireless card might flake out, and that also causes funky things to happen, too. I'll bet you the RAM fixes it, but if not, you know, try the LCD cable, inverter, and then you might have just got a flaky motherboard. It has happened to me as well, so. All right.
And those guys are hardcore to fix. I love those.
The laptop guys?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I love those hardcore people that are just into it.
Yeah. They're like, I took the whole motherboard apart 3 times.
And I'm like, no hands. I ain't doing it. Don't want to. Don't want to ever solder anything.
Once you start soldering, you won't be able to stop.
I'd be thinking of other things too much, you know? Like, I'd be into it, and I'd be like, what am I not doing elsewhere?
Really? I bet no. Those things are engaging. You can't. Once you take a laptop apart, me anyway, I'm into it. That's what I'm doing.
I told you my story of A+, didn't I?
I don't think so.
I shouldn't even tell it out loud. It's pretty funny.
What happened?
So back in 2000, I took A+ class. Yeah. And the only reason why is because I was working at a help desk at an engineering company. And they said, you have training money, so we want to put you through A+. We want to put you through Unix. Because we had a lot of Unix engineers. And I already learned Unix back in the 90s at my first job. I did VAX and AS400 stuff. So I was like, yeah, great. You know what? I need to be more familiar with when they call into the help desk. So I took the A+ class, and I didn't like hardware, remember? So
okay.
They were like, hey, you're going to take apart a computer, and you're going to reinstall Windows 98. And I was like, okay. So I took it all apart, and everything was great. And I remember the class was really weird. It was just like one of those Horizon classes, you know? You go on for 2 days. I put it back together, and the guy next to me, so he goes, what is that? And I was like, all the extra screws I have. He's like, you have 12. I go, still works.
Yeah, don't ever take apart a laptop.
I do now. I'm safe, though. I count every screw and make sure I know where they go. But back then, I was just like, hey, it worked, you know. And but I did the nice thing as I taped all the screws into the case.
So the next such a nice thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I started out like that. I would always have screws left over on laptops, but then the more you do it, they started going away. And even as a pro, you still have screws left over sometimes.
I think about 2 or 3 cups of extra screws that just from random stuff. I mean, every shop has that, you know.
Yeah.
Just from whatever. But yeah, you know what though? I mean, I don't know. I'm growing a business. I don't need to know everything on the hardware end.
Yeah. I agree.
Enough. I hired those guys to know all that now. I know enough.
Yeah.
I don't want to solder anything.
Right. I agree with you. All right. Let me read one more email here and then we'll end off. This is from Fab, from Fab's Auto Backup. He said, just to tell you, I've just put online the new Auto Backup for Tech 4.3.1.866. First of all, this is not in the email. This is me saying, if anybody has not used Fab's Auto Backup yet, use it. You will not.
Yeah, we just got it.
Did you get the new version?
Yep. And I think if I'm right, you can only use it 200 times, right?
I do not know. It does not say that in the email, but I'm not sure.
Anyway, we're going to be going through those 200.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Me and Fabs are going to be close friends soon.
All right.
Because I'm making all the guys do it on a lot of computers now since we got the tool.
Really? Email Fab. He's a very accessible guy. I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you. Okay, cool.
We've been exchanging emails because I was like, I want to use this on a higher scale, not just here and there. I want to use it across the company.
Good. Good. He's probably happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. Well, if anybody does not know any of the new changes are, well, first of all, it's just an awesome tool for, you know, if you're moving data from one computer to another, like documents and Outlook PSTs and emails and stuff. This is like the tool that will save your bacon every time and make life easy. Plus it does a bunch of other cool stuff. But the new changes are if automatic users profiles directory detection fails because of damaged software registry hives. God, I don't even know what that means. When selecting another system drive, a message is prompted to the user asking for manual specification of this directory. This avoids staying stuck at this state, so that's a good thing. Windows Internet Explorer settings, ICQ history and settings, Logitech set port settings. It's got a bunch of updates. They're very specific. I won't read them all, but the new version's out. So that is another reason why you should buy Fabs. That's from Fabs Auto Backup. Just Google it, and you'll get to Fabs' site. It's a French site, so I think it ends in FR. Is it FPNet?
I think, yeah, you know what? I actually really am into it because I like the word fab, so.
I know.
That intrigued me to buy it.
That's totally the reason why most people do.
Fabs. I love it. It's a sexy backup tool.
His site is fpnet.fr. Check it out.
You know what, Steve? We should do a giveaway of the remote book for someone for Christmas. Let's figure out a cute or fun kind of giveaway.
All right. So let's do, I don't know, where, like a Twitter type thing or Google Plus. I'm a Google Plus type thing. The first person, Google Plus. I don't know.
Sure, we could send it through all those channels. Let's see, I'm trying to think of a giveaway quiz or something, maybe, or somebody has to send in a picture or something. Nothing serious, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to give you like a minute to think about it. I'll start wrapping up the show. If you don't think of anything by the end, we'll Google Plus it out and Twitter it out.
Okay.
So we're going to do a contest for remote book giveaway. So stay tuned for that. I don't know when we're going to announce the rules for that. But anyway, if you do want to email Podnuts daily, you can just send an email to mail@podnuts.com. If you want to call us on a phone and leave us a voicemail, just call 7076-PODNUT. 7076-PODNUT on a regular phone will get you to the voicemail. There's about 4 emails I didn't read yet today. I'm going to take up those next week. And that's it, guys. Thank you very much for tuning into Podnuts Daily. Lisa, did you think of anything?
Yeah, the first person that emails me saying that they listened to the whole show and heard me mention... Oh, dang it. I can't think. I was trying to think of something fun.
That was good, just right there. They listened to the whole show.
I know. They listened to the whole show, and they heard me in the beginning talk about...
No, they have to tell... How about they have to tell you the color you painted your new shop?
Okay. Lisa@callthatgirl.biz. First email wins.
There you go, guys. Those are the rules.
That's a good one. That's easy.
It's a softball. We just gave it to them. Easy.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this week, guys. Hey, Lisa... Yes, tell us more. Like, tell us where people could find you, and any other last comments before we end off.
Oh goodness, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me in Facebook, and I don't do Twitter, but I've got feeds there. You can find me in Podnuts TeamSpeak. You can find me at Technable. You can find me at G Plus. You can call me. You can email me. Go to my website. And there's 25 ways to get a hold of me.
Nice. Call that girl that biz. Thank you, Lisa, for coming on the show. Oh. It's fun as usual.
We already got a winner.
Oh, really?
Man. Yes.
That was quick.
I just saw it pop up.
Does that count? I don't know if we can count that. All right, let me end off the show here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and watching, listening. See you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily brought to you by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.